ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया।
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 ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नामश्रेष्ठं मनमपि शक्तिपुत्रमत्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजमरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादा सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्विता। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. You're already over there? What's going on? Okay, great. Back to the name I was discussing last time. I didn't finish it. I hadn't consulted my notes properly. Satkirti. Good fame, you could say. Simple translation. One of the commentators points out that this name can also be applied that he gives good fame. In other words, I discussed this somewhat last time, that there's so many people who are famous, but that fame is neither lasting nor laudable. But who becomes famous as a devotee of Krishna, that is lasting and laudable. Of course, devotees are not interested in name, fame, and glory, but they get it anyway. They try to avoid that. A great example is Madhavendra Puri. If you have read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can't read it because it's not produced in Tamil. But tomorrow we're having the inauguration ceremony for the release of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in Tamil. Then you can read it. Do you read in Hindi? Hindi mein aap padhte nahi? Kali bolte. Only Tamil. Okay. So you can enjoy reading in Tamil when it comes. Do you read in Tamil?
No, I read in English.
Yeah. Can you read Tamil?
I can read slowly.
Slowly you can read it. Hindi?
Hindi I can read
well. You can read well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know someone who can read so many languages. He knows them all. Any language he knows.
Amazing.
You know who that is? Krishna! He knows all languages. Trick question. Here's Maitreya. Little bit. He's always busy in service. All of you are nicely shaved up, huh? All look nicely shaved up. There's one little boy over there who's smiling. Not shaved up yet. Sometimes, not just today. Okay. So, I just thought well-known verse in which the term Satkirti comes, but it comes in different words. Okay, I'll say the verse and see if you can find Satkirti in this verse. Maybe some of you know this verse. Samashrita ye padapallava pavang mahatpadang punyaya shomarare Bhavam buddhiya vatsa padang parang badang padang badang yad vipadang natesham, which means, that one who takes full shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, his great, who has great feet or is high, greatly positioned, who has great fame, and who is known, or pious fame, there's a clue there, and is known as Murari, the killer of the demon Mura. Such a person can cross over the ocean of material existence and go to the spiritual world just as easily as someone crosses over the hoof print of a calf. Otherwise, in this material world, there's danger at every step. Now, can you imagine how many of you have seen the sea? Have you all seen the sea? You've seen the sea. You lived in Bombay all that time. Have you all seen the sea? You've seen the sea. You were living in Saudi Arabia. You crossed over the sea, so you've all seen the sea. He's also ex-Dubai. But in your house also is close to the sea? Hmm? Kundapur. Kitna mile? Kitna kilometer? Das Bara? Mm. So if you see the sea, you say, how can you cross? It's so big. Can you swim across? No. Now if you see a Hare Krishna, Swagatam, welcome. If you see a calf's hoof print, do you ever think, oh, how difficult it is to cross it? You don't even think. You don't even think about it. You just cross it very easily. You, without even thinking, you just walk across it. So crossing this ocean of material existence is very difficult to cross. But if we take shelter of Krishna, it's just like walking over a calf's hoofprint. It's so easy, you don't have to think about it. And that's one of the reasons, did any of you find in that verse? Punya Yashaha means Sadkirti, means the same thing. Punya means pious, and Yashaha. Yasha means the same as Kirti. It's a synonym for fame, especially means good fame. In English, there's fame and infamy. In Sanskritam, Yasham, Apayasham. Apakirti. Kirti, Apakirti. So, you can be famous for bad things also. But he's famous for good things. Punya Yashaha. Now, Baladev Vidya Bhushan gives a very, interesting, wonderful, all the good words are worn out by overuse, explanation of Satkirti. The previous names to this, one of them is Jyotir Ganeshwara. He's the Lord of so many great devotees. So he's the Lord of so many devotees who serve him in various ways, for instance, by holding an umbrella, by fanning him with a chamara whisk, and try to serve him in so many ways. But still he remains humble and submissive to his devotees. That gives the names Vijitatma and Vidhayatma, and therefore he is Satkirti. He's famous for being so humble and good and nice to his devotees. Even though he's served by them in so many ways, he doesn't develop a haughty attitude toward them. You know the word haughty means? Means arrogant, bossy, like that. Okay, let's go on to the next name. Chinna Sangshaya. You all know the word chinna. It comes in Tamil and Telugu, but it has a different meaning in Sanskrit. Chinna means cut or to cut. In Tamil it means, but generally it means small. When you cut something, it's chinna, chinna.
Chinna means cut.
Cut.
Chinnam bindam, chinnam
bindam. Chinna binna, yeah, that's also the chinna binna, means cut into pieces.
Small pieces.
Yeah, so it is there.
Yes.
Okay, So it means to cut. This is not a very well-known name. It's not one which is much commented on or discussed, but I see it as being very important. Chinna means to cut, and Sangshaya, any of you know what Sangshaya means? Yeah, Sandeha, doubts. Sangshaya, Sandeha, Shankha, they're all different words for doubt. So he who cuts doubt. Now this name is of tremendous importance for us, sitting here in this material world. Yeah. It's very nice here compared to big cities which are full of pollution and noise and lust and greed and distrust. And you just came from Salem, which is, it's a provincial city. It's not as nasty as big, big cities. But still it's very different here. You see the birds, all the day we hear the birds chirping. We have the Agatti tree here, named after Agastya Muni. And we have the Sabudana crop, sago crop, which doesn't look very nice. Rice looks much nicer, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's not beautiful to see.
Sago.
But still it looks better than garbage heaps and traffic jams. So it's very pleasant to be here, no doubt. But still it's the material world. Birth, death, old age and disease is all around us. We're living in the world of birth and death, full of doubt. So Chinna Sangshaya means who cuts all doubts. Now I'm just going to quickly go through the comments of some of the commentators, and then I'm going to launch into a long, relatively long explanation, which won't finish in today's session. Unlikely. Whoops, there's some little creature there. So, Parashara Bhatta, the great personality whose family is still there in Sri Rangam, he has commentated, he's commentating on these names, this series of names, in terms of Bhagavan's Saushilya, his very good character, and his Saulabhya, his easiness to attain for his devotees. Sulabham Partha, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yo Mam Smarati Nityashaha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha. Krishna says that for one who is always thinking of me, and again he says, who's always thinking of me, without deviating, who's always engaged in my service, for him I'm very easy to attain, Krishna says. So this great quality of the Lord, then Parashara Bhatta says that anyone by meditating, by just thinking about these qualities of Krishna, then all doubts will go away as to, well, is he actually God? Or can he be easily known or approached? Is it easy to please him or difficult to please him? All such doubts will go away by meditating on his great qualities. Shankaracharya says that this name is there because he hasn't got any doubts himself. He understands and knows everything, just like the commonly given example, the amla fruit in the palm of the hand. Karatala amalakavat, he says. Now the amla is in season. Is it here in this area?
It is there. The smaller variety is there.
Yeah, the wild one, is it growing? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one is, you have it in the palm of your hand. You can have 10 of them in the palm. There's wild ones. But the normal cultivated ones just fits nicely into the hand. So it's a common example given. Another Satyadeva Vashishta, Satyadeva Vashishta, Vashishta. He says that Bhagavan, he has no doubt as he goes about the work of creating and maintaining and destroying everything in the creation. Everything's under his control. He knows what he's doing. He's a very competent engineer. He doesn't get confused, what should I do next? As we may do. Okay, now I'm going to go on to the explanation that I put together. Yeah, it's of tremendous importance, and I'll discuss about that. This Vishnu Sahasranama, what is it? It's glorification of Vishnu. It's reciting his names, but all the names have a meaning, and he's glorified by so many names, and then when we discuss the names, then more and more glorification comes out. It's glorified by those who accept him as supreme. There's no point to discuss Vishnu Sahasranama. It's meaningless. Unless from the very beginning we accept him as the supreme. He's the supreme powerful, the supreme friend, the supreme beautiful, the supreme everything. He could even be the supreme angry. But that's not for the devotees. That's for the non-devotees. Mm. We just celebrated Narasingha Chaturdashi, the supreme angry. Better to be Prahlad than Hiranyakashipu. The protected by his anger, then destroyed by his anger. So we're discussing this. This is to be discussed among devotees. And practically all our outgoing preaching. Tomorrow you'll be going out. In the area, is it, with your Sankirtan party? You'll go.
So actually, some supposed of us are joining the program at Chennai, the opening program.
Oh, I see. So you right, okay.
Srigaridhari Prabhu has invited us.
He's invited you all, so we'll see you there. Anyway, you're going out in the public, and you don't discuss, when you're discussing with the public, you don't discuss in detail all these points. You won't discuss such things, is it? This is for people already committed to Krishna consciousness and who have some knowledge of the teachings of Gita and Bhagavatam. People already have faith. When we go out to preach, it's not to tell people about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. It's not that everyone just accepts it. No, everyone has their own different ideas. And preaching can be risky in as much as the people we're speaking to, they have their own ideas and they'll tell us, no, it's not like you're saying, it's like this. They have their own concept. Practically everyone thinks that we're in this world to enjoy ourselves to our best capacity. But there's mercy for those who go out to preach and protection. But still, there can be accidents. To remove even one doubt or to bring people even a little closer to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said it's like spending gallons of blood to bring people to Krishna consciousness. We have to really apply ourselves, pray to Krishna. So we also, we have to take the position of cutting other people's doubts. So we ourselves should be on the platform that Srila Prabhupada describes in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that a Krishna-conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. So really, We have to be on that platform to help others to come to Krishna consciousness. We ourselves have to be convinced. The thing is that everyone's convinced in their own way. And we ourselves, we may not have full faith, because we see someone's convinced that killing animals and saying Allah, that's the right way. Someone else may be killing animals and saying Kali, Bhadra Kali, that's the right way. Kali, yeah, Kali Mata. When we think of Kali Mata, we think of blood, don't we? It's always associated with blood. And they're quite convinced. There's some philosophy going around, God gave the world for us to enjoy. In the Bible, in the beginning of the Bible, it said that God gave man dominion over all creatures. Means made him in charge of all the creatures. So they interpret that, and then we can just kill them as we like and eat them, because it's funny interpretation. Just like your children, if you give someone, you please look after my children, I'm going away for a little time. You come back and say, okay, where are my children? Oh, I looked after them, I cooked them and ate them. What? Look after them means you be nice, not that you kill them. So different people have different conceptions. And we ourselves may doubt. It seems right to me that Krishna is God. We should serve Krishna. And to someone else, something else seems right. So what's right, actually? How can we really know? Well, we should feel that, but we also have to apply the intelligence. Divya Gyan Hride Prakashito Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yata Deve Tata Goro Tasyaite Katita Hyarta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. The last verse of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad states that for one who has the highest devotion to Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, Yasya Deva, and the same kind of devotion to Guru, to such a person, all the import of Shastra is revealed within the heart. And that also, Divyagyan Hride Prakashita, Guru also reveals knowledge within the heart. So one can feel a conviction, but also there is a system of checks and balances. What the Guru says, the Shastra says, the Sadhu says, real knowledge is the subject of the Vedanta. Veda means knowledge. Vedanta, the end of Veda. Vidya, Jnana, Brahma Jnana, Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the Absolute Truth beyond the various apparent truths of this world. That is revealed in Sattva-gun. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. And beyond Sattva-guna is Shuddha Sattva. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. The state in which Vasudev, who gives birth to Vasudev, Krishna, is revealed. So these are all technical understandings of how real knowledge. This is a very, very big topic, which I won't get into in great detail here. But the point that is there in Vedic epistemology, I guess you could call it, Praman Shastra, you would, or Praman Tattva, you'd say, it's not exactly the same, but it's the nearest we can say. How actual knowledge is to be attained. It's a great topic in philosophy, epistemology. So, As I was saying, we're discussing Vishnu Sahasranama. And basically those who are listening, who's going to listen? Those who have faith in Vishnu. But there are different levels of hearers and not everyone is fully convinced. The idea is that by hearing Vishnu Sahasranama, we should become more and more convinced. If we hear Srila Prabhupada speaking, there's so much conviction in his voice. And he gives good philosophical understanding why we should be convinced also. But we live in the world of ignorance. We don't know why we're born, why we die, who we are, where we're going, why we're in this situation. Most people, they don't even think about it. But we're in ignorance about the most important things. They force the poor children to go to school for years and years and pump them full of all kinds of rubbish, which they called education. But they deliberately avoid these questions. Who are we? Where have we come from? Why are we in this world? Why is anything? Why does anything exist? Actually, in France, it's compulsory that they teach philosophy in the schools. It's a compulsory subject. But then they end up with the last great French philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre. The nemesis or antithesis of actual philosophy. Anyway, we're not in the world of truth, we're in the world of ignorance. And the world is full of doubt, and doubts about everything. I mean, apart from the nature of reality, doubting about it, there's doubts about everything, especially in the modern age. Where it's coming that no one really can believe anything, anyone says. It used to be that people believed what they were taught in school. In those days are long over. Maybe. Some people, though. A few years ago in London, how many years ago? Maybe 15 or 20 years ago, I was in Trafalgar Square, one of the great, for some reason or other, it's just some big statue with some concrete plinths, but somehow or other it's some famous place in London. So we had after our Rathiatra festival, I was there on the questions and answers booth, and so many people were shooting challenges at me, one after another. Eventually I got fed up with them and I just started speaking in a very strong voice and said, "You people, you're all talking as if you know a lot, but you don't know anything about anything that you really need to know. You're just a product of this system in which you're pushed in as a child into the educational system, and they completely destroy any spiritual tendencies that you have. You don't know anything, but you're just talking as if you know a lot." And they all went completely silent. We're not in the world of truth. But even materially speaking, or about material so-called facts, there are so many doubts. Conspiracy theories. The world is run by a cartel of Jews. That's probably the most famous cartel. Few Jews are running the world. Yeah. Maybe it's true. I doubt if it make any difference if it was, I don't know, Tamils. Maybe true. You don't know. The thing is, people say things and then you don't. The official explanation of 9/11, you probably never heard of 9/11. They don't know. It's 9/11 on the 9th of, well, no, this, what is it? The 11th of September 2001 in New York City, three towers, skyscraper buildings, which you've probably also never seen. Skyscraper buildings. They came tumbling down. according to the official narrative, two of them fell down because of planes flying into them was an act of terrorism. Another one just caught fire and fell down also. And many, many people don't believe this. It's an inside job, as they say. False flag. How about this one? Alien invasion? That, who's that, what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg, is it? Some people say he's bred from aliens who are like lizards. I mean, just that there's so many weird ideas out there. They may be true. The thing is, you don't know. It may be true or not true. Right now, I see the headlines of the newspapers, which are no longer papers. It's on the internet. So every day, there's talking about how flat earth theory is wrong. Because there are so many people saying, actually, the world's not round, it's flat. It's not globular. It may be round, but it's... Which makes me think that the people who are advocating flat earth theory, they must be making progress. Otherwise, why would they bother? Why would they bother to say it's stupid and refute it? They must be gaining ground. And you don't know. Even the President of the United States complains about fake news. So you don't know what's in the news. Is it true or not? A few days ago, we heard that the government of Syria made a chemical weapons attack on their own people. And as a result of that, in retaliation for this horrible deed, the United States government attacked the capital and other places in Syria with missiles. See, you're on the farm. You don't have to bother about all these things. So, according to their theory, it's okay for them or for anyone to kill others with missiles, but not with chemical weapons. If you kill people with missiles, it's okay. If you're on the right side, if you kill them with chemical weapons, it's not okay. But then others say, no, there was no, it's just a made-up story so that they could attack them. And you don't know. You just don't know. How can you say? So we live in a world where you hear the news, or you don't bother, you're lucky. The news is that it's time to go and plant the fields. Not now. You're waiting for the rainy season to come. Huh? Now is the quiet time for farmers, the summer. In India, summer is the quiet time for farmers. Relatively quiet. There's always work to do. But you don't know. You just don't know what's going on. There's so many. Just so many lies, and people make up false stories, and so many things. But then there are whole philosophies that just make us doubt everything. The most prominent of those is Buddhism, where nothing exists. Wait a minute, there's nothing to not exist. There's no reality. As is said in Buddhism, you can't say that it is and you can't say that it isn't. You can't say that it both is and isn't. You can't say that neither is nor isn't. Can you work it out? No, of course you can't work it out. Shunyavada, one of the philosophies, one of the many philosophies within Buddhism, that there's nothing, there's no substance, there's no reality, and then there's emptiness. And Mayavad, the Vedantic Mayavad, Advaitavad, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, this whole world is false. So you doubt, is it real? Does it really exist? There's a whole elaborate philosophy. In Western philosophy also, there's solipsism, which there are various strains of that, but basically it means that, well, the only thing you can really know or accept as real is what you yourself experience. You can't really tell if anything else is real at all. And even the people you see, they might not really be there. The only thing you can, it's an extreme form of empiricism. Then we have quantum theory. The idea that, well, everything is just energy. So there's nothing really there anyway. It's just all waves. It's all energy. So does anything really exist? Oh, if you think about it, maybe the doubt. So Krishna comes to resolve all doubts. As Umapati Swami said, I didn't ask about Krishna. He's okay. Where is he? He's in China.
Yeah, he's in China. Yeah.
So one of my favorite quotes from him is that he was a Buddhist, and he was trying to work out, this thing. You can't say it is, and you can't say it isn't. You can't say it both is or it isn't, and it isn't. You can't say it's neither is nor isn't. And just like this old word juggler. And then Prabhupada comes along and says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he thought, that's the most intelligent thing I ever heard. And he surrendered. So we live in the world of truth. The great acharyas have come to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that everything else is true, it does exist, but it's relative truth. Everything is relative to the Absolute Truth, who is Krishna. So you're all listening to this. Pious people. Pious means a tendency to Punya Shravana Kirtana. That's a name that will come up later in Vishnu Sahasranama. We have the pious inclination to hear and chant about Krishna. But realistically speaking, most Hindus today, they're more interested if some bogus guru comes, talks all nonsense. They're more interested to go to them. How big this Sai Baba was, is completely obvious that he's completely bogus. But so many people were following or considered him to be God. This is the situation. They're impious. Only people who are impious, they'll be attracted to that which is not true, but which poses as true. Satya Sai Baba, they call Satya Sai Baba. What could be more false than him, calling himself God? But he called himself Satya. So you see, it's adharmam dharma mitiya manyase tamasavrita. Being covered by the mode of ignorance, tamaguna, we take that which is not correct, not religious, not true, to be true, and vice versa. This is the situation. It's a very dire situation. So this name, Chinna Sangshaya, that means who cuts all doubts. Because of course, Krishna consciousness is based on faith. We take to Krishna consciousness with faith. With the faith that by Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am His servant. By serving Him, by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, by serving Him, by hearing about Him, by chanting about Him, by remembering Him, by serving His lotus feet, by worshipping Him as the deity, by praying to Him, by identifying oneself as His servant, by identifying oneself as his friend and by surrendering one's whole being to him, by doing this, one will surely be situated at his lotus feet eternally. Some little, little bugs are there. So Krishna consciousness is based on faith. Shraddha Vanjan Hoy Bhakti Adhikari. Uttam Madhyam Kanishta Shraddha Anushari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one who is faithful is eligible to take two bhakti. And one is considered a topmost devotee, a middle level devotee, or a beginning devotee, based on one's level of faith. So bhakti is based on faith, therefore we can understand that doubts spoil bhakti. So how important is this name? Chinna Sangsha, he who cuts all doubts. Now what are the doubts? The doubts can be innumerable. Innumerable doubts. Going to school is a whole program for programming us to identify ourselves with this material world, to deny our actual spiritual nature, to completely forget it. There's not even discussed. It's just presumed. You go to school and they just presume that we're in this world to work like an ass, get some money and spend it. And that's our whole life. And especially all this Darwin's theory, so many things. And the whole unit, everything came into being with a big bang. Nothing exploded and then it all settled down. And then here we are. Science. Rubbish. But they teach it, science, as if it's something, as if it's actually true. The scientific outlook. And then we have that on one side. On the other side we have fanatical religion, which says that you just believe or you go to hell. I had a problem. I was raised in a fanatical religion. I had a problem with that from a young age. I thought that, well, the fanatical religion I was born into tells you have to believe this, and then someone else, otherwise you go to hell forever. Pretty tough. But then someone else has another fanatical religion which says, no, you have to believe what we say. And there's no intelligent way you can understand this. It's just luck. If you get it right, you get saved. Otherwise, you go to hell forever. So, many, many people in the Western world nowadays, they're just fed up with religion altogether. They're atheists. Not exactly by... not that they've really thought about it very deeply, but just... If believing in religion means this, then they just don't want to have anything to do with it. There may be people who've come to Krishna consciousness, but they have a bad experience with the devotees, and that spoils their faith. We gain faith not just from philosophical discussions, but by dealing with the devotees. And if devotees themselves misbehave, or act in a way which is not expected of saintly people, then we lose faith. Or it may be that someone is raised in Krishna consciousness, just like your children. We don't have many children left. We only have one child left in the community. Yeah? The others, well, they went home with Gaur Nataraj as one other, and then the others are at the Gurukul there in Gujarat. So they're raised in Krishna consciousness in the school, and some people will say, well, you should expose them to, they should have a free choice. But we want to protect them from that sense gratification society. But it may be that Well, definitely, as they become older, they'll come into contact with this sense gratification society. And then the doubts may come. Not exactly philosophical, but they just think, oh, why should I follow all these things when everyone else in the world, they have cell phones and motorbikes and fashion clothes and hairstyles, and why not me too? Of course, we have our hairstyle too, but it's not exactly modern fashion. It's ancient fashion. Old style. So they may grow up and the doubts come. That why should I have to follow all this? I can enjoy myself. Of course, if they're well trained, they'll understand philosophically that what's the enjoyment? You have a nice hairstyle, but you have to die anyway. Fashion clothes, but you have to die anyway. So we should be more interested in the eternal than in the temporary. But it may be that they, by exposure to the society, they have doubts in Krishna consciousness. Or we find people come to Krishna consciousness and then they go through so many tests, there are so many difficulties in various ways. Family problems and health problems, this and that. And they think, oh, I thought by worshipping Krishna, Krishna would save me from all my sufferings, but I'm getting more suffering. And then they doubt. So there may be so many doubts. Then the idea of that this is something dogmatic, in sampradayak, they say in Bengali, is the nearest sectarian. Some is not exactly dogmatic, but very similar. Dogmatic, I guess you could say it's drudha andha vishwas. Very strong blind faith, you could say. Huh? Katta? Yeah, it's similar to drudha. Strong, very strong, but strong blind faith. The modern idea of knowledge is that, well, you know something and then you study it some more and then you make some more research and then you find out what's wrong with your theory and you develop it more. And they say, you see, what you call knowledge is not knowledge because it just stays the same. It doesn't develop. But our argument is just the opposite. Because it's knowledge, it doesn't change. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not you're going to make more research and develop that. So their idea of knowledge is that you find out more and more things. But if you actually have knowledge, then it doesn't change. But they have a completely different approach to what constitutes knowledge. When I say they, I mean the academic approach. The academia is agnostic, means they never admit anything to be fully true. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote the following. Now you're going to have to listen to this very carefully. The materialist has a natural repugnance for the transcendent. The materialist has a natural repugnance for the transcendent. Doesn't like anything. Not just doesn't like, but actually very strongly dislikes any talk of anything transcendent. That transcendent means that which is beyond his power to measure by scientific means or the ability to understand by his intelligence. So the materialist has a natural repugnance for the transcendence. He is disposed to think that faith in the incomprehensible is the parent of dogmatism. and hypocrisy in the guise of religion, which may be true in many cases. He is also, it may be in many cases, but real knowledge is not dogmatic. So he, the materialist, is also equally under the delusion that there is no real dividing line between the material and the spiritual. It's a very, very big topic. More or less, yeah, the materialist anyway doesn't believe in the spiritual, but if people talk of spiritual, they often refer to their material feelings, maybe subtle feelings. Or many people think that spiritual means just being in nature, but it's just being in the countryside is not in and of itself spiritual. There are a lot of spirit souls here. Bugs and birds and beetles and trees. But they're all in material consciousness. So there's a short quote. Any few words from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they could be discussed in great detail, but I'll go on. I'll go on to a statement from Srila Prabhupada's comment on Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, a well-known verse, Prayanala Yusha Sabya Kalavasmin Yuga Janaha Manda Sumanda Matiyo Manda Bhaga Hi Upadrutaha. In this Kali Yuga, people mostly have very short lives. They are of bad inclination, very slow and dull-witted, of bad luck, and their mind is always disturbed. In the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes that in the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. So I'm just giving a little overview here about faith and faithlessness and misplaced faith. Then we'll get to gradually getting through to Chinna Sangshaya. What we're up to get through the doubts, how the doubts come. Doubt means faithlessness, and Srila Prabhupada writes here the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Srila Prabhupada wrote this in India in the early 1960s before he journeyed to the Western countries. He was aware of the scientific atheism, the influence of that in the world, which really came to a head with what's called the New Atheism, headed up by Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, and others. But that became very prominent about 10 years ago, but that was in the Western world, but it's not so prominent now. But that really, the scientifically, so-called science, heading up atheism, that really peaked with the so-called New Atheism, which is still going on, and it will go on. There will always be atheists in the world. But Srila Prabhupada wrote that in Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Srila Prabhupada must have very much experienced that, being in India at the time. Because Srila Prabhupada was raised in Vaishnava culture, in Calcutta, in the early 20th century. And most likely he didn't come across many atheists there. My own experience in East Bengal, of course Calcutta's in West Bengal, it wasn't divided at that time. Well, politically, anyway. It was all part of British India. Although the British did divide West Bengal. Anyway, that's another topic altogether. But my own experience in East Bengal, no atheists. The idea is practically unknown. But with the rise to power of Pandit Nehru, he was a great champion of atheism, faithlessness, anti-Hinduism, anti-religion, in a very sophisticated way. And then Dr. Radha Krishnan also. Yeah. So they were very prominent, the Prime Minister and the President of India. Nehru promoted that religion has spoiled India. We're so far behind the West. And when I first came to India to stay in the mid-1970s, that influence was very, very strong. It's gone down now. In Tamil Nadu, the whole political careers of Karunanidhi was built on atheism, promoting atheism. Actually, it was more like anti-Hinduism. He wasn't promoting anti-Islam or Christianity. You can see the difference, just like Telugu people and Tamil people. There was no such movement in the Telugu area. And so you'll find that they're still basically Telugu people are very pious and religious. And actually Tamil people still are, but they're most of them, but they're wounded by this atheism. This faithlessness, Srila Prabhupada writes, but you do find in some countries that there is a strong atmosphere of faithfulness. When I first went to Sri Lanka, it was very striking coming from Tamil Nadu. What a difference, because the government there, since they gained independence at the same time from the British, as India did. They say the independence of India, but it was simultaneously the independence of Ceylon and Burma. You know, they all came in one package, and of course Pakistan, which later split into Pakistan and Bangladesh. So the government in Ceylon, now known as Sri Lanka, has from the beginning promoted in the educational system religion, whereas not in India, thanks to Nehru, anti-religion or non-religion. So you'll find in people are much more religious, isn't it? Striking difference. Just you hop over the water and a striking difference in the culture. And in the Muslim world, Islamic world in general, you won't find many atheists. They have strong faith. So it makes a lot of difference, the whole atmosphere. That's why we're having the whole atmosphere in society. That's why we're developing these communities. It's not just for growing food and living peacefully and chanting Hare Krishna, but it's meant to create an atmosphere where we can freely be devotees without having to contest all the time and live under the thumb of people who just want to be against Krishna consciousness. That's how the modern America was founded or came up. That so many people went from Europe to America so they could practice religion freely because they were being persecuted in Europe. Christians killing Christians. Now, again, talking about faithlessness and just faith and faithlessness. I'm just looking at it from a few different angles before we get through to dispersing the doubts, the name Chinna Sangsha. It's very common in the Western countries that people take to Krishna consciousness in a young age, and it just seems right. Yeah, great. Many of probably everyone, people are leading directionless lives. Dishaheen. I don't know how you say it, but it's a very good word. Dishaheen, without any direction. And they want some direction, something to fix their mind on, something to follow. And it's very different, and Krishna consciousness is very different and exciting, and it seems like fun and it's adventure. And they take to it with a lot of enthusiasm. But then, as they grow older, they may change. And what seemed to them exciting and different and really just seems to make sense, they start to think differently as they get a little older. They rejected the mainstream society as being bogus, unreal, there's nothing of any substance there. But then they start to think, well, maybe I could have enjoyed myself in it. I was just having a hard time. And it starts to seem real to them. They reject it as unreal and join this cult, as some people would call it. So they don't have to deal with the world on its terms. But then they start to think, well, maybe I shouldn't go back and face the world as it is. Don't be an escapist. Our situation, we're lost, floating in the ocean of material life. We met devotees and thought, well, okay, well, let's try it out, see what it's all about. And Krishna consciousness itself is like an ocean, and you get carried away in it. But after some time, we may think that, well, let me have a rethink here. What's going on? Do I really want to do this all my life? That means that there's deep down the faith isn't very strong. If we understand that life after life we're suffering in this material world, then it makes all good sense to take to a process that will deliver us from that. But again, if we think, well, we're only here, we only live once, so enjoy it while you can, then the doubts begin to arise. Do I really want to do this all my life? All this discipline, I could just enjoy myself. Do I really want to surrender to Krishna when I can enjoy myself? Or we may even think that, I'd like to be Krishna conscious, but really, all this too much, all this discipline and rules and regulations. Maybe I should just relax and take it easy. And so many doubts may come this way. Oftentimes we find that people have doubts in Krishna consciousness. You can preach to them and tell them, and they know the philosophy, and you can't convince them. Why? The example is, it's like trying to wake up a person who's pretending to be asleep. The actual fact is that they just want to enjoy sense gratification in this world, but they'll give so many philosophical doubts. But the philosophical doubts are not, it's not really on the platform of seeking for the truth, but it's on the platform of avoiding the truth. Because they want to go back to cat and dog, eating, sleeping, mating and defending level. Now, there may be, so that's another way that doubts can come. Then, there are those who have faith and who are committed to Krishna consciousness, but there are doubts because we are in this material world. We're not pure devotees. We're not premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridiyeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. We're not seeing Krishna face to face with. We're not seeing Krishna manifested within our hearts in his beautiful transcendental form of Shamasunda. Our eyes are not anointed with the eyes of love. Something, to some extent. It's not that we're not getting anything. We're certainly experiencing Krishna in our lives. But it's Maya's job to put doubts in us as we practice Krishna consciousness. Maya has two phases. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Propi manute narta. And I forgot the last line. Anyway, Maya. Her duty is to make us think that we're part of this material world. And completely bewilder us in this way. That even though we have nothing to do with this world, due to the anartha or the unwanted or that which is against our real interest phase, we identify with this body. So we're covered by Maya. Maya's the power of illusion, the covering potency. That's called the avaranatmika vritti. And then if someone tries to come out of that, then she has a prakshepatmika vritti. Get back there, throwing us back. We're coming out, and then we're no longer covered by the illusion by which we think we're meant to enjoy this world. She throws us back. Throws us back. That's her duty to do that. So we have faith, but we may have doubts also. Doubt means that we know. We all know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, right? Everyone sitting here, we all agree. Our whole life is based on the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and we are His servants. So in one sense, we don't doubt, we have so much faith that our whole life is simply based, we're living our life based on that principle. But in the mind there may be doubts. Is there really a God? Is Krishna really God? Is this process, am I really going to be purified by this process? Now in one sense, doubt is not wrong. Because unless we doubt, unless we intelligently understand, then it'll be blind faith. Of course, if we have blind faith in the right thing, that's also not bad. Just like, for instance, we have blind faith that by eating everyday rice, dal and vegetables, that we'll be nourished and healthy. We don't know how. Did any of us here study or biology and how the rice gets digested by the gastric juices and gets digested and then it becomes, gets changed into this and this and gives us strength and energy and you get these vitamins and this and that. We may have studied to some extent, but basically we don't know what's going on. We eat it and we forget it. That's all. We have blind faith, you could say, but it's reasonable faith. By eating rice and vegetables, all these things, we'll get nourished. So, doubt is not bad in the sense that, to have blind faith in something which is true is good. But then we may say, someone says this and someone says that, and there are so many gurus and they say so many things. So, in this sense, doubt can be good because it forces us to apply our intelligence to understand what is reality. But if we're committed to doubt, agyastha shadathanascha, the sanshayatma vinashyati, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who are ignorant and faithless, who are sanshayatma, here we have the name chinna, sangshaya, who cuts doubts. But sangshayatma means someone who's committed to being doubtful. They'll never believe. And they say, I don't believe anything. And then you can ask them, do you believe what you just said? It's a self-defeating statement. But someone who's committed to doubt. We have to have faith. Otherwise, we can't make any progress. But in any discipline, we have to have faith. When we go to school, as you may have worked out, I'm not a great fan of school. But in one sense, I am, yeah. We're also running schools, but it's just that the modern education system is slaughterhouse for the soul. But real education is good. So anyway, when you go to school, you have basic faith that the teachers have something to teach me that I don't know. I have to learn from them. Mathematics, calculus, looks, if you don't know what it is, it just looks like a bunch of squiggles on the paper. But you have faith that the teacher can reveal to me what is the meaning behind all this. So there has to be some faith. But if one doubts or doesn't properly understand, then the teacher is there to help us to come out of the doubts. But we have to be careful that we don't get wrongly convinced also. It's like I'm saying, there's so many people that are fully convinced about things which are not true or which are harmful to themselves. So to doubt in itself is not wrong. What is wrong is to doubt that we can ever go beyond doubt. We shouldn't be forever searching for truth. At some point we should find the truth. What is wrong is refusing to search for the truth or denying that there is any ultimate truth. Either because we couldn't be bothered, we just like to watch TV. We don't have any higher aim in life. Oh, we're convinced. I already know it. Yes. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to me, to the Father, but through me. Jesus says in the Bible. So that nullifies everything. Nullifies everything. All the great spiritually realized people just throw it all out, according to this idea. So wrongly convinced, that is not good. Also, no search. I bathe myself in the blood of Jesus. No need to go anywhere else. What do they mean? Bathe yourself. What a horrible idea to bathe yourself in the blood of Jesus. You heard this? You heard they say this? What a horrible idea. But they think, yes, this is it. No more search for truth. So human life is meant for atato brahma jignyasa. Now we attain human life, we should acquire into ultimate reality. So unless we inquire, then our whole human life, which we attained after many births, is spoiled. So failing to inquire, which means failing to exercise intelligent doubt, spoils the purpose of human life. And just simply doubting, whatever anyone says, that means the challenging, unsubmissive attitude, that also spoils the proper purpose of human life. I'll finish here for now. It'll probably take another two sessions or three sessions to go through this. Didn't really come to Chinna Sanshaya yet. I'm just discussing about the doubts, what they are. Then gradually we can come to cutting the doubts, discussing the Supreme Personality of Godhead who cuts the doubts. So Hare Krishna. We'll stop there and restart a little later, which means probably next week. Hare Krishna. Who's going to Chennai for this festival?
Myself, Prabhu family, and...
I can understand Prabhu because you put his hand Srinivas on him.
Shaktiram is also
good. I see.
Prabhu will be here.
Prabhu.
Sevananda Prabhu is here.
Okay. All right then. So let's give out these bananas. They're good. Very simple food, eh?
That is Puvan variety banana.
Local one, eh?
It's a local one. Our Puvan banana. It's a local variety.
Such a simple thing, but so nice and nourishing also, eh?
Yeah, very nourishing.
Cows like it. Elephants like it.
Yeah. And it fills the stomach very easily.